turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Our text is going to be verses 18 through 25. We'll read our text and then I want to comment a little bit on it before we begin with our divisions today. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Who against hope, speaking of Abraham, our father Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, the title of my message is He Staggered Not at the Promise of God. Another way I could word that is He Believed God. Abraham believed God. How do men and women believe God? Not just believe in Him. How do we believe Him? Sinners are given hope in Christ. That's how we believe God. Against all of our natural logic, we're given faith to believe God. Our faith, our hope in and of Christ is evidence of our salvation. This pattern doesn't change. How sinners approach God does not change. Why? Why doesn't those things change from Abraham to us? It's because that gospel we are given does not change. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, does not change. The message hasn't changed. The person hasn't changed. He is the message. Now, we've heard this before. Why do we tell it again? Why do we need to hear that this depravity that we're in, that man's totally dead, God elected a people, the Spirit enters them, gives them a new heart, gives them a new life, circumcises them in the heart. And it's all those things happen because Christ became sin for us, who knew no sin. And each one he paid the ransom for is going to be brought home. Just like our brother, they're going to be called home to glory. Why do we need to hear that so much? Are we so grounded in doctrine, so grounded in theology, so grounded in this knowledge of the Scriptures that we don't need milk no more? We want some strong meat. Have we grown up that much? Those things are strong meat, aren't they? We need to hear the promises of God often because we stagger at them so easily whenever we're left to ourselves. Whenever we see the promises of God, we stagger at them. Do I stagger? Do you stagger at the promises? Plural. This will be important. We'll see this later. Do you stagger at the promises of God, those precious promises? Do we have unbelief? That's what I'm asking. Do I have unbelief? Do you? The Lord said trials are going to come. Promise. Are we shocked when they come? Are we disappointed? Do we get mad when trials come? The Lord said this will come. He said all things work together for good to them that are called according to His purpose. That's a promise. Do I get fearful whenever I'm concerned about how things are going to play out? Well, this could happen. Do I get scared? Do I get nervous? Why? I have unbelief, don't I? Christ said, believe on me and I will give you rest. Do I still labor? Do you still labor? He made a promise. Do we believe that promise? Do we stagger at it? It's appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. That's a promise. Are we surprised that people don't live forever? Are we shocked at that? Lord's appointed a time for each of us. We know that. We shouldn't stagger at those promises. God the Holy Spirit has blessed the people that die in the Lord. Those that die with the knowledge of Christ, they are blessed. Are we afraid to die? Are you afraid to die? Do we stagger when we think of those things? Or do we rejoice in what glory may be like? We don't know what it's going to be like, but we hope, don't we? That's my first point. We're given hope. There in verse 18, Romans 4:18, says, and speaking of Abraham, who against all hope, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. It says there against hope. Outside of Christ, no man, no woman, no one has hope. They may think they have hope, but they don't have any. Abraham was without hope. He was hopeless when the Lord came to him. It says in Genesis 15, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. I don't have any children. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. He's speaking of Eliezer. That was his servant. He said, Lord, when I die, this servant is going to get everything I own. I don't even have an heir to give it to. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. That's a promise, isn't it? And he brought him forth abroad and said, look, now towards heaven, tell the stars. Count all those stars up in the heavens. Can you number them? That's how many of your seed's going to be. And he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, didn't he? He didn't have any hopes. Lord, I'm almost 100. I don't have any children. What am I going to do? The Lord said, I'm going to give you a son coming from your loins. And he believed the Lord. Now God told Abraham he was going to be the father of many nations. Now he has hope in what? In the Lord. He has hope in God, doesn't he? What does hope look like? You remember when Paul was on that ship and an angel come to him and said, we're going to shipwreck you, Paul, and you're going to do some preaching. But don't worry. The boat's got to crash. You stay in the boat. What did Paul tell all those people on the boat with him? He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. I believe the Lord. He said it. I don't know how it's going to play out, really, but I believe him. I believe it'll end up the same way he says it will. Hope is cheerful. Hope is cheerful, isn't it? There is joy and peace in hope when we hope. When we look to ourselves, do we have hope? Do we have joy? Do we have peace when we look at us and what's around us? I don't. If you do, you're probably going to be in trouble. But when we look to Christ, when we look to Him, what He's done, do we have hope? Do we have joy in our Lord? Do we have peace in our Lord that He's accomplished everything for us? Do we have patience in Him? That faith we have in the Lord, does He give us the faith to wait on the Lord? I can't wait on myself, but when He gives us the faith to, I can wait on Him. These things are not logical, are they? That's against our nature. Many think that preaching Christ alone is old-fashioned. All you preach down there is Christ. You guys are old-fashioned. And some people say, well, if you do that, if you only preach Christ, it's going to confuse people. And others will just say it's foolish. It's foolishness. Here's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Preaching Christ alone to some is a stumbling stone. They get tripped up on it. To others, it's just foolish. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greek, doesn't matter who you are, if you're called, if you're His, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's our hope. And those things are against our natural logic, aren't they? Look there in Romans 4 and verse 19. Romans 4:19. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now Abraham was given strong faith from the Holy Spirit to believe God. He was given that faith. Faith's a gift, isn't it? But put yourself in Abraham's shoes. He was right at 100 years old, and Sarah's right on his footsteps. She's right behind him. She's about 90. And God said, you're all going to have a baby. We think of our brother Bob Miller. Give another 20 years and you're going to have a baby. That'd be hard to understand, wouldn't it? But all men by nature do not believe God. It's not in us to believe God. David wrote in the Psalms, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in any of his thoughts. They don't think anything of the Lord, much less believe on him. But after we believe God, because righteousness is in us, we've been made righteous. After we believe him, do we still stagger at his word? Are we saved and then all of a sudden we're perfect? Now we've got to start working on sanctification? Do we have something else to do? Are we past those things? Or do we still stagger at the Lord's promises? Plural. Turn over to Genesis 17. We just read from Genesis 15. Let's look at Genesis 17. Genesis 17, we're going to begin in verse 15. Genesis 17, 15. We've been in Genesis 17 several times looking at circumcision here lately. The Lord instructs Abraham concerning that token of physical circumcision. Tells him how to do it, when he's going to do it. In the first 14 verses there, explains those things. But right before, all the males in the household of Abraham were circumcised. Right before this circumcision happened. And after he was declared righteous. Now Abraham's already, the Lord said he's righteous. And this is before he circumcised everybody. The Lord spoke to Abraham again. Right before the circumcision. It says there in Genesis 17, 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. There's a promise. Kings of people shall be of her. Now in Genesis 15, God promised Abraham he was going to be the father of many. And Abraham believed it. Abraham believed the Lord. It was counted to him for righteousness. Now, 13, 14, 15 years later, God tells Abraham how he's going to do that. He makes a promise to him as to how he's going to accomplish this. And he says he's going to do it through Sarah. Now this is one of the promises, plural, of God. He promised he's going to do it through Sarah. What happened? Look here at verse 17. And then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Is she going to have a baby? We can't have a baby. Now the man saying this is righteous in the eyes of God. Abraham was righteous. He was holy in the eyes of the Lord because of what Christ had done for him, was going to do for him. He was made perfect in Christ before the world was. And he laughed and he questioned in his heart. Now, whenever we hear these things, do you look down your nose at Abraham? You say, oh, that's a shame. I can't believe he'd do something like that. Or does that comfort you? Our father Abraham, look that last time, he's our pattern. That's why he's called that. He's our example of saving faith. That faith that was given to Abraham. And he was prone to wonder. He had unbelief. He had unbelief in the promises, plural, of God. How God was going to do things. He didn't understand it. And he staggered at those things. But he still petitioned God. Look here in verse 18. And Abraham said unto God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Now, God didn't answer Abraham's request immediately. He kept on talking. And we've seen the promises of what God will do and how he will make it come to pass. He had explained that through Sarah. But we're about to see the promise. We've seen the promises. We're about to see the promise. Look here in verse 19. Genesis 17, 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him, with his lineage, through his house, for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now, and is italicized. It's added by the translator. So let's read that again without the and. And he says there, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. Now, plainly and clearly, God tells Abraham that he will have a son through Sarah. And that son's name is going to be Isaac. And through Isaac, the seed, Christ the seed, is going to come. Christ is who God the Father made the everlasting covenant with. Now the Lord addresses Abraham's request. He preached the gospel to him. He said, that seed I told you about, your Savior is going to come from your loins. It's going to be through Sarah. Look here in verse 20. He said, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. He said, Ishmael's going to be okay. I'm going to take care of him. Don't you worry about it. But verse 21, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at the set time in the next year. I'm going to have it with Isaac, and you ain't going to have to wait long, Abraham. Within a year, she's going to have that son. Verse 22, and he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. The Lord had saved Abraham. He had given him faith, and Abraham believed God. And then he questioned how the Lord would accomplish his will, his work. But the promise was not questioned. He questioned how the promises that was going to take place. And he had laughed at him. But Christ is not laughed at. That promise is not laughed at. And he didn't disagree with that promise. He didn't stagger at the promise. And as soon as the Lord left Abraham's presence. Now remember, this was all right before the circumcision. The Lord spoke to him. He said, now remember what I told you? I'm going to do it through Sarah. And he didn't let up. He kept on it. And he said there, I lost my place. As soon as the Lord left Abraham's presence, he told him everything was going to happen through Sarah, and he left. And immediately, Abraham circumcised all the males in his home. He still obeyed the Lord. He obeyed that circumcision. And he had to be turned from looking to himself, from looking to his wife, from looking to all the things around him and the how of things. And he had to be turned to Christ. And once he was turned to Christ, once the Lord put his eyes on him, set his heart and affection on Christ, he didn't waver. In Christ, he did not waver. Now we'll turn back to our text here in Romans 4. We're enabled to believe Christ only. In Romans 4, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise, singular. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And when we look at the waves, it's all around us. We tremble. We stagger. Look at all this heartache that's going on in our nation. All these trials that's coming, this pestilence. We get nervous. We stagger. We falter, don't we? When we consider that God's providence and all the things that He does, when we look at that with our mind and man's ability, we stagger. When we look at the sin that we've committed against God, and I think of that sin debt that I have, before I'm looking to Christ, when I'm still looking at me, we faint, don't we? Feel overwhelmed. But when we look to the promise, Christ the promise, we're strong and we give all the glory to God. David wrote this in Psalm 28. He said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart will greatly rejoice and with my song I will praise Him. The Lord's our strength and that's who we praise. It's who makes us strong. Our faith's not strong. Our faith doesn't do push-ups. We can't exercise it. We use it, Lord, but the Lord strengthens it. Christ is our strength, and that's who we'll praise for. I'm going to read you a few different verses here for time's sake, but You can look through the notes later and go back through them. But in Isaiah 35, it says, "Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." The Lord will come and save you. Be strong. The Lord's going to save you. And Haggai says, "Now, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." Why are we strong? The Lord's with us. Zechariah said, "And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you." We were accursed. The Lord said He's going to save us. "And ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hand be strong." Be strong in Christ. Be strong in the Lord that saves you. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." When I'm brought down as low as I can be, and I have no ability, no hope, no means, where's the only place I can look? I look to my Savior. I look to Christ. And then what happens? Am I still weak? His flesh is weak, but that spirit's strong, isn't it? Why? Because it's Christ's spirit put in you. Paul also wrote to Timothy, said, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ." Was Abraham strong? Yeah. Abraham was strong. He had strong faith, didn't he? Why? Because Christ in him was strong. The Lord was with him. He was his. Now, here's a proof of that salvation there in Romans 4, verse 21. Romans 4:21, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Not just that the Lord had promised it. Not that he was going to send Christ, but he's going to be able to send him. Because it hadn't happened yet. He couldn't explain those things, but he believed. He was persuaded. Now, I can't explain how Christ became a man. How God Almighty took on a human flesh. I can't explain that. I can't explain how my sin became His sin. He became me. But at the same time, He had no sin. I can't explain that. I can't explain how God forsook God. God Almighty was forsaken by God Almighty. Christ was forsaken on that cross. I can't explain that. I can't explain how I can have a fully wicked sin nature still in me, and also have a perfect nature, a holy nature in me, and it's all contained in the same mind. It's equally me whenever I'm thinking of my Lord and rejoicing in Him, and it's equally me whenever I'm just wallowing in sin and pity and pride and everything else. I can't explain those things. I can't explain how I will die in this flesh, but my spirit won't die. I'll immediately be with Christ in glory. And I can't explain how when that happens, I'll be without sin. I'll be perfect. I can't explain it. I believe it. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded that what God has promised in Christ, He's also able to perform. I might not be able to explain every detail about it, but I know it is so. I may stagger at the how He's going to accomplish it, but I'm persuaded that all the promises of God are in Christ, and they're yes, and they're amen. I believe that. Now, He will save His people in Christ only. Christ accomplished all for His elect son and daughters. That work is finished. And He will receive all the glory for it. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue confess that Christ Jesus is Lord. That will happen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are completely and utterly unable to satisfy a holy God? You have no hope. Is Christ all your hope? Is He your only hope? Is He all of it? Is He all your holiness? Is He all your righteousness? Is He all your justification to the Father? Did He accomplish all of it? Is He all your wisdom, all your faith? Is He in Him and of Him? All that grace does and must come from Him, through Him. If so, look at verse 22, Romans 4:22. And therefore, it was imputed, it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, we looked before imputation. The word imputed is an accounting term. If I say there's one recorder device on this podium, I say there's one, I impute that there's one there. I count there's one there because there is one there. And when the Lord imputed righteousness to Abraham, it's because he was righteous. He counted it, just like he's counting vegetables on a grocery shelf. But Abraham was made righteous, then he received faith and he believed the Lord. Now, if all your hope is in Christ for salvation, that's because he has made you righteous and he's given you faith to believe him. Children of God in this day are no different than our father Abraham, our pattern Abraham. And that pattern continues. It's always been the same. It's always going to be the same until the Lord wraps this earth up. Look there at verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, that it was counted to him, but also for us, to whom it shall be imputed. Those to come, those believers to come. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now, there's no Old Testament God and a New Testament God. I've heard that a lot before. People say, well, there's an angry God in the Old Testament and there's a sweet and gentle God in the New Testament. Not so. Same God throughout. The means of salvation have not changed since Abraham, since before Abraham. And the Word of God has been preserved all these years to point us to Christ. That's why we have these scriptures. We have this Holy Bible in front of us, and every bit of it is to look to Christ. It points us to Christ. That way we bow to Him, and we give all the glory to Him. That's the purpose of it. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. Look in verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Who is the whosoever? Whosoever is going to believe. Who is that? Writer Acts said in Acts 2:39, for the promise, the promise, singular, Christ. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. What does this call make us do? This promise we receive. The people that the Lord's called. What do? We believe in Christ. He calls us. He reaches down and grabs us, gets a hold of us, and gives us a new heart and a new spirit to believe on Christ. Turn over to Matthew 16. I was going to just read that to you. But Matthew 16. Verse 15. And he saith unto him, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He believed God, didn't he? Believed Christ. What did our Master say? And Jesus answered, said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. The Lord revealed that to him. God the Holy Spirit came into Peter's heart and said, Christ is your only hope. Believe him. And he did, didn't he? That's what he does to us. That's what he did to Adam, Abel, Abraham, on up, to me, to you. But what's the means that the Lord's going to use to reveal Christ and His children? What's the method that He uses to reveal that to Him? The preaching of the gospel. The Lord takes a dry clay vessel, an ugly, worthless pot of flesh. It takes just men, sinful men, and He raises them up. And he uses them to preach Christ to people. Those men aren't impressive. They don't have any worth. But he uses them to declare what Christ has already accomplished in them. That's what I was raised up for. I'm nothing, but I can tell you who is. I'm a nobody that tells everybody about somebody that can save anybody, Scott Richardson used to say. That's what we do. What are these preachers going to tell folks? These earthen vessels raised up to tell them about Christ. Look here, Romans 4, verse 25. They're going to tell them that same gospel. They're going to tell them the promise. Singular. They're going to tell them Christ. Romans 4, 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Christ died for a people. His redemption was successful. And the proof is He is risen. He accomplished what He's going to do. We don't have that sepulcher full of bones like they carried through Egypt 400 and some years. We have an empty tomb. Our Savior's risen. Brethren, when we're overtaken in a fault, like we looked at last week, when we stumble, when we stagger at the promises of God, when we look at the providence and creation and governments, thrones, dominions, powers, principalities, when we look at all these things and we waver and we falter and we fear and we stumble, let us always look at the promise of God, Christ. Let us look to Him. If we're able to do that, if the Lord gives us the faith in the heart of our father Abraham through that pattern, not to look at all the things around us and the how, but if we look to the promise, Christ, in all the trials and in all the joyful times, we'll rejoice. We'll have peace. We'll have hope. In all the happiness and all the sorrow and in all the fear and in all the confidence, we will not stagger. We will not stagger. A true child of God will waver in a lot of points. They'll stumble. They're going to be overtaken in faults. They're going to have pride. They're going to have everything else that the Lord hates. We're going to do everything. But what won't they waver at? What won't they stagger at? What are they going to steadfastly stand on? Cross the rock. Cross the promise. Let's always remember that, brethren. Whenever we face trials and we don't know what's going to happen, how is the Lord going to keep His gospel going in this day and age? Don't worry about the how. Look to Christ. What's going to happen in the stock market? I don't know. Look to Christ. It's the only message we have. Keep looking to Him. I pray that'll bless you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so prone to wonder, look to ourselves, look to the world around us, and stagger and be fearful. Lord, help us. Forgive our sin. Forgive us from not looking to the Savior that You've given us. Lord, strengthen our new man. Let us grow in grace. Let us grow in strength in Him and knowledge and wisdom in Christ. Teach us, Lord. Be our teacher. Keep us always. Keep us always looking to Him until You take us home and we can see Him face to face, Lord. What a glorious day. Shed this body of sin and death and be holy and without blame because You've made us that way and we can worship properly. What a day it'll be. We'll be with our brethren everywhere, those that You've sent to trial. You've sent the heartache. You've sent the disease. You've sent it all, Lord. Allow us to know that. Allow us to not stagger at Your promises of providence. Let us rejoice in Christ. Let us remind our brothers and sisters that are staggering to look to Him. And when we stagger, Lord, have them remind us of Him. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.